John 14, beginning with verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you, that the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
I'm sure we're all touched by the plight of an orphan. A person, a little child, left without father or mother. We get touched even when it's described in a novel or a musical. We think about Oliver Twist and Oliver, or we think about Annie. And those are moving, well done, in the plight of those people that are just left on their own. I hope it's even more moving when you think about it today. We heard again last week about the plight of the orphan in Guatemala. Ms. Julie shared some of the concerns about the situation in that country. Bob Serba mentioned about his friend who is involved with an orphanage and orphanages in Haiti. We see the pictures, and we've been reminded just a few weeks ago about the situation with AIDS orphans, particularly in Africa, but around the world, and how many children have been left without parents because of the scourge of AIDS and HIV. And even when we get to know an individual or know a situation more personally, it touches us even more. Our next door neighbor was telling us just this week about her little, what is it, kindergartner? Is that in kindergarten or first grade? Kindergartner. And one of her best friends, her dad had died shortly, sometime in the past couple of years, and then all of a sudden this week, her mom died. And here's these two little kids left without either father or mother in our community. And we're touched by those situations, how sad they are. And that touches us not only because we know that children, little children particularly, need everything to be provided for them. They need the physical care. They need somebody to provide for them their food or their shelter or their medical care. And that's important, but we realize, of course, that even an impersonal government can take care of some of those things. There's ways in which those needs can be met. But what bothers us and what touches us far more is the fact that everybody needs other people. There's the relational needs that come. We have the horror stories of what happened in the orphanages in Romania during the communist years. And some of the stories from out of Russia of children who were just left and warehoused and didn't have the touch and didn't have the love and didn't have anybody that really cared for them. They just got fed. They just got their diapers changed eventually sometime if it got really bad. We need that relational touch. God made us that way. God made all of us as people who need other people. We need to be in relationship. And that's what makes us so sad when we think about an orphan who doesn't have any more of those natural relationships that they were born into. Today we honor moms. And let me say just to every one of you who is a mother, your children need you, whether they admit it or not. And you need them. Because you were made and their children were made as needing relationships, needing to be care. And I know there are some moms who just hate the idea that they have to go off to work and leave their children with the daycare. And thankfully, there are some wonderful daycare providers that make that available. But it's that relationship thing that makes Mother's Day or Father's Day next month such an important time, because we acknowledge the fact that we need those relationships. It's interesting when the Bible gives us a little bit of a definition of what religion is all about. The writer of James says, this is what the creator of human beings, this is part of the care guide, the owner's manual, if you want to have it, for people. And what does he say? He says, true religion, religion that God accepts as pure and faultless, is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from becoming polluted by the world. And so when we hear the promise of Jesus in the scripture reading that we read this morning about Pentecost and about the coming of the Holy Spirit, what does Jesus say? He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And what a promise for all of us who need that relationship with God, as well as relationships with other people. And we're going to see this morning that that's not just a word and a promise that has to do with Pentecost, with one day out of the year, but this is God's word to us from all of the Bible. It's kind of a big picture type of thing this morning, how God relates. God is a God of relationships. And that's a theme that you find all the way through the Bible. It's there because we don't always have it. Because we're broken, and because we get lonely. Now, is that relationship idea all that important, really? Well, the Bible seems to say it is. I think back to the book of Genesis. And way at the very beginning, in Genesis 1 and 2, you get the picture, you get the Garden of Eden. And Eden is really a paradise, isn't it? We think of paradise as the place of perfection. But what is it that makes the Garden of Eden such a special spot? It's that there's relationship. Adam and Eve are there together. God has recognized early on, he says, it's not a good thing for a person to be alone. And so Adam needed somebody else. People need each other. And God created Eve, and Adam and Eve are there in a relationship, and they're in a relationship with God, not just with each other. God comes, and they walk with God, and they talk with God every day, and there's that closeness that's there. And the sad thing of Genesis chapter 3 is that when sin comes into our world, it messes it all up. And there's a break. And Adam starts blaming Eve, and Eve blames Adam, and they blame the serpent, and everybody's blaming everybody else. And what was once a really good relationship isn't there anymore. And God comes, and what do we see? Adam and Eve are scared of God, and they don't want to be with God, and they hide themselves, thinking somehow they can get away from God. And what was once a really special time is now broken, and there's a loneliness there. You go to the book of Psalms. There's a lot of beautiful expressions of really great praise and wonderful things in the Psalms, but there's also a lot of realism. And so this is what Psalm 12 says. Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbor. They flatter with their lips, but harbor deception in their hearts. Does that sound like an ideal world? Does that sound like Garden of Eden? It's kind of like today, right? It's reality. Or Psalm 22. Sometimes it seems that God is far away. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. My God, I cry out by day and you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Again, that's not Garden of Eden. This is what happens when God comes and Adam and Eve try to hide. Or Psalm 142. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Look and see, there's no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. Wow. A lot of brokenness. A lot of relationships and people feeling very alone. In the reading from today, Jesus is preparing his disciples for the fact that they're going to be alone. Jesus says, I'm going to leave. I'm going to be going on away. He's talking about his death, first of all. He said, very soon I'm going to die. You're going to be left alone. But he's also talking, I think, about the fact that he was going to ascend to heaven. And you're going to be left alone. There's brokenness and there's lonely people in our world today. It's not just a few poets, psalm writers, who feel this aloneness. A lot of the songs of popular culture over the years have reflected that brokenness, that loneliness, that hopelessness. Some years back, there was Kurt Cobain, and some of the songs that he wrote and he sang and performed were just filled with emptiness, and he ended up killing himself. And some of the movies of our world today are filled with thoughts of suicide and of nihilism and self-mutilation. I haven't seen it. I don't think it's been broadcast here, but I read about the movie Wrist Cutters. I don't know that it was here, but kids who cut themselves just because they hate themselves that much. And that's kind of the world that we live in, that brokenness. Sometimes kids are afraid to go to school. You hear about what happened at Columbine and happened out in Minnesota, and it's happened different places of kids coming in, loners who are out there, and they shoot up the school. And we get afraid. And you wonder what's going to be a fight on the school playground after school, and somebody's going to get stabbed or get hurt. We live in that kind of a broken world. And that's why it's so important for you as parents to work hard to keep your marriages together if you're married. Because your children need both of you. They need security. They don't need more brokenness. They don't need more pulling apart and antagonism. They need things together. It's bad to be in a broken relationship with part of your family. Some people are. Or maybe with a friend who used to be so close to you and has gotten away from you. We need each other. But what's even worse is to feel that God is way out there. We feel estranged from God. It happens when you know that you've been violating God's good commandments. You've been an act of rebellion. You know that what God says, and you say, but I'm just going to do my own thing anyway. But boy, that's not a very pleasant feeling to think, I know God isn't pleased with me. But it also happens when you just think, well, I can get along without God. I'm too busy. I'm so busy with my schoolwork. I'm so busy with my career. I'm so busy making money. I don't have time for God. But, you know, it leaves a hole. We were created to be in relationship with other people. We were created to be in relationship with God. We're orphans when we're not in those relationships. But the reality of the broken world from the Garden of Eden on, about brokenness and about feeling like orphans, is that God says, but that's not what I want for you. And God has a consistent message all the way through from the Garden of Eden on. It says, I don't want you to be orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. And the word for it is grace. That's what it all comes down to. How does God relate to us? You don't deserve it. But God says, I'm coming to you anyway. Undeserved favor, grace. And that's not just some vague word, an abstract concept. But God says, I relate with you. I come to you. I'm not leaving you as orphans. Already in the Garden of Eden, there was grace. Because what has happened? Adam and Eve are hiding. God says, where are you? I'm looking for you. And he keeps looking after them and tries to find and finds them. The whole Old Testament is not just a book of law. It's a book of grace. of God coming to broken, sinful, lonely people. God saw all the mess that the world was in. He says, I'm going to destroy the whole thing, except that Noah, you've got a few years. Build a boat. That's an ark. Remember Cosby. But anyway, he says, you got to build that thing. That's grace. God comes to this broken world. I think of a person like Joshua. Joshua is given an impossible task. Moses, who's led the people of Israel out of the Egypt and is leading them into the promised land. And now Moses is not going to be the one to do it. Joshua is going to have the task to do. It's a huge job. And Joshua is scared. I can understand that. But what does Moses say to the people and to Joshua? Moses summons Joshua and says to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. You got a huge job. You got to lead them. This whole mob of people, lead them into a promised land. But then he says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged. It's God coming and saying, I'm going to be with you. The prophets, over and over again, when the people are messing everything up, God sends a prophet and says, this is God's word. I'm coming to you. I have to give you a warning, or maybe it's a word of encouragement. This is God coming. And where better to see that, of course, than Christmas. What is it? It's God coming to us. You will call him Jesus. He is the Emmanuel, God with us. Wow. God walking with fishermen and visiting with Mary and Martha in their house and accepting a broken adulteress in her sin, because God comes. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. And now, after Jesus has been around for 33 years, he says again, I'm going to be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. One of the last things he said to his disciples after he tells them, go into all the world, he says, and I am with you always to the very end of the age. And here, in this passage that we read this morning, Jesus says, my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And in verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. All of that. That's what Pentecost is. It's a gift. A person, not just a thing. A personal gift, the Holy Spirit. God is still with us. God has been given to Peter and to Thomas and to Mary and to a demon-possessed girl in Philippi and to Saul the persecutor and to you and to me. God comes and says, you're not alone. I'm here with you. And so in your loneliness, remember, God says, you may feel like an orphan, but I'm not going to leave you there. Sometimes we feel lonely because of the circumstances of our world, because we live in a world that is broken, and accidents come, and parents die, and children die, and we get hurt horribly and all of that. And God says, but I am with you in that. And sometimes it's because of the mess of our own doings. We mess up our lives, and we mess up other lives because of it. They get impacted too, but God says, you may feel like an orphan, but I'm not going to leave you there. I am with you. Don't forget it. Now, this can be scary, and I have to mention this part too. I hope Pentecost is for you a really joyful celebration, not just a day on a calendar. But remember, when the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit is God. Fully, completely God. Now, God is with us in a way where Jesus couldn't be. He was here limited. He had a physical body, but when he left, he says, I'm going to be with you wherever you are. Now, that can be kind of scary sometimes. It's kind of like, you know, when you sin, it's not just being afraid of the legal consequences of that. You break the law and you're going to get caught. It's not just a matter of getting found out if your girlfriend ends up being pregnant and everybody knows about it, or an IRS agent comes knocking on your door and you get your name in the newspaper. That's not the only thing. Remember, it's God who is there. God is with us. God knows us. Sometimes that's scary when we try to go our own way and do our own thing. But remember, God says, I'm not going to leave you. You're not on your own. You're not an orphan. But I want us especially to see the other side, the blessed side of that. For even when we sin, God is there. And God says, I offer you forgiveness and pardon. Confess your sins, and you will be forgiven. When you struggle with a broken relationship, whether it's your fault or it's somebody else's fault, we don't go into the fault thing, but if a relationship is broken, remember that God says, I am with you in this difficult time. When we face our own death, and it's going to come someday, God will be there. He says, I will not leave you in that experience. And when we get to the end of our rope, we think we've done everything we can and we don't know where to turn. God says, hey, I'm there. Don't forget it. I'm there. And when we celebrate with our moms today, either by remembering with the blessed memories of moms who are no longer with us, or whether we are able to have a special dinner and give them a gift and do those special things, remember in those times, God is there. You're not an orphan. You have other people, and I am there. And the promise of John 14:18, I will not leave you as an orphan, was fulfilled on Pentecost. The Spirit came and stayed. Didn't just come for a little while. The Spirit is still here. And so it's in that light that we come to the Lord's Supper. For here too, it is God who is with us. And I want you to hear these words. Because it is God who is with us. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And these words from the next chapter. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And yes, I am with you always, to the very end of the world.